my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another instance of Loveline, also known as Sex Talk. As we all know, history, baseball history was made tonight because Mark McGwire, is that what his name is?
Many erections, probably, were created by that. Don't you think?
The erection?
Don't you think that at least some people get turned on by that?
Well, I was going to, it's interesting you should say that, because I decided that since he did this fabulous, groundbreaking thing, the 62 home runs or whatever, I was going to, in the next 24-hour period, I was going to masturbate 62 times.
Really?
And try to have 62 orgasms.
But you really need to find out what sort of records have already been set. Maybe that wouldn't be enough.
Well, it's sort of, I think it's kind of a copycat sort of.
Well, I mean, it's actually just, kind of sick. There's some power in the number 62, I think.
You think?
You don't think it's
well, it's 7 from 69.
That's what I was going to say.
Interesting. So, well, I've already...
And 7, you know, is a mystical thing.
There are 7 chakras.
There's all 7 all kinds of things.
Chakras?
Yes. It's 7. Cats have 7 lives.
There's 7 key flavors in Applejack.
Well, yours may have 9 lives. Right. All right. So go on. So I made this crude comment about erections, and you got all flustered
well,
now.
No, you're right.
Get back on the road.
The point is that, normally I only masturbate once or maybe twice in a day.
In a day?
Especially. I think I have an orgasm about once every 24 hours. I think that's fair.
So this is maybe a digestive thing. Do you find you get indigestion if you don't?
Well, you know, I do find that I actually get kind of grouchy if I don't. I think it's more of a psychological...
And grouchiness can cause indigestion, and really it all does come back to that.
Well, so that is very interesting. See, something's wrong here. I think your hormones and your various bodily sort of fluids and proteins do get out of balance, I think, if you don't have that sexual release.
Those precious bodily fluids do bottle up.
I would like to go around the room and introduce ourselves first. I am, as our listeners
of course know, they can't tell if we're going around the room.
DJ Anthrax, and we have the usual complement of people. We've got Luke.
Howdy.
Lurline, whose name I still can't pronounce.
Hi, pleased to meet you.
That's a French name, isn't it?
Absolutely, but my mother immigrated to Australia not so long before I was born. So.
Oh, from France?
From France, to Australia, yes.
Really, and our new member, whose name, our new, what's your name again?
Would you stop looking at me that way?
I can't help it yourself.
You creep me out, man. You're really creeping me out. Attila.
Attila.
Thank you.
I would like to ask our producer to turn down the volume in here just a little bit. Thank you.
It's a proud Hungarian name, you know.
So, are you from Hungary?
Or? No, but it's a proud Hungarian name. There are a lot of people who do actually have that name. You know, you'd think after Attila the Hun they would have retired it, you know? Mm-hmm. But they didn't. There's like an email from lots of people who are actually ticked that I took their name. Like on IRC.
What do you mean that you took their name?
Well, because they see me on IRC or something. And
like, if you have the name Attila, no one
And they actually have the name Attila.
Do you get onto these programs to get involved with people
there? Actually, no, I don't. I use IRC mainly to keep in touch with people that I work with or with my wife from work.
But you don't have special conversations with your wife?
Occasionally.
Because IRC has a little bit of a reputation.
It does. But IRC, IRC has been maligned unjustly.
Perhaps we should tell our listeners what IRC is.
IRC. Internet Relay Chat. I don't know what IRC is.
Oh, you do too. I see you there all the time. Internet Relay Chat is what it is.
And this is some kind of chat system.
Oh, yes, as if you don't know. Yes, it's...
Does this work under Windows 95?
I think it does. I think there's...
Okay.
A severely brain-damaged version that... The problem is...
So it's a chat and lots of people all over the world.
Well, lots of people run their own little private IRC servers, which is mainly what I use, which there may be no more than a dozen people connect to. That's not very interesting. The big IRC networks like EFNet may have at any time like 40,000 people connected to.
Wait, there's more than one? I mean, if I connect to like the gay Pittsburgh channel?
Which channel on where, though? There are IRC networks.
I connect to the CS server.
Okay, that's on EFNet. Which is one of the large IRC networks. So, for instance, at any given time, there might be 40,000 people connected to EFNet. But the problem is that it's very difficult to find out, to answer your question, it's very difficult to find out what actually is what channels are available, because there might be 20,000 of them, and so typing /list might take quite a long time to finish, and I just don't have the bloody patience.
If you have the Windows 95 client, it comes up in this little scrollable window.
Yeah, well, I don't have the Windows 95 client, okay, Jack, so it doesn't come up in a little scroll bar. There's like 16,000 of the damn thing.
Okay. Well, that's enough geek talk.
It is enough geek talk. Anyway, I have no idea. I know the people on the channel that I talk to, but I don't really know what else is going on.
So you have cyber sex with them, correct?
No, I don't. That was a nice troll.
I mean, I don't understand why. So you go onto these things, and there are other people talking.
Yes.
And what do you talk about?
Usually technical things in my case, but I mean, there's anything you want to talk about. There's a channel where people are talking about it.
Have you ever had cyber sex on your technical?
No, only because the only person that I want to have sex with is close enough physically that I can.
Oh, come on.
Get there.
You don't think that a different form might enhance your relationship?
No, I don't.
Transcending the physical.
Well, but the physical's awfully nice, you know, at this point. I'm pretty happy at the physical at the moment. And it does transcend the physical, but in a different way.
You're stagnating.
No. You know, you've never been there, all right?
Ben, been with your
so
wife.
So don't give
don't
me
be
this
so
stag.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, mister. Really? Have you?
Maybe I have.
Have you?
I know her online handle. I know which cyber button.
I got your handle right here.
So where were we?
Cyber sex. IRC is where we were.
So, but
certainly the internet chat programs of all sorts, not only IRC, but other, and particularly some of the newer web-based ones and AOL's
web-based ones
have a reputation for being places where sex happens. All the time.
Well, certainly, it's very easy to set up a little a electronic space where you can talk about anything, and people want to talk about sex. So.
So what's the most intimate type of thing you've talked about then?
With my wife.
Or anyone.
Well. I'm not much of a joiner.
What's a joiner?
Somebody who joins in group activities. I'm
a private kind of
person. He's a loner.
I most definitely am. I mean, it's obvious that there's a lot of it going on because typically whenever you connect to, for instance, EFNet, you're immediately bombarded with advertisements for porno.
Right, so that's not individuals propositioning you.
Most of the time it's not.
Have you been propositioned?
Well, it's hard to tell sometimes if it's a robot or a person.
So there are robots seeking sex on the internet?
Well, there are robots there are robots selling sex on the internet, certainly, yeah. Sure, yeah. People write little programs that look for people who they haven't bothered yet and tell them, go get pictures at this place or whatever, you know, little advertisements.
But that's not the sort of one-on-one interaction we've heard so much about.
No,
or it's 3-on-1 or 5-on-2.
So you seem to know a little bit about this. Have you got some experience then?
I have a little experience, not with IRC, but with MUDs.
So that's another chat format.
Yes.
Well, that would be interesting.
Essentially, you're able to talk to have written conversations with people. Is that right?
Basically, yes.
And the difference between a MUD, which stands for
multi-user dungeon.
It's not domain.
There are many.
The D is kind of flexible.
Okay, yes. So but MUDs are more than just a simple chat room, right? It's just supposedly this whole like fantasy world, right? I mean, are there navigation commands and spells and power levels and points and all that?
Yes, different modes vary in how much they have of that built-in mechanics, but just about all will have at the least some notion of rooms and descriptions of yourself and things and people that you encounter.
And what sort of encounters have you had then?
Well, so most of my encounters have been, the experience has been on a single role-playing, fantasy role-playing, and
the wildest fantasies?
Mostly the medieval swords and sorcery fantasies.
Do you find that enters into the interpersonal dimension of people dealing with each other in MUDs, if it's a fantasy thing versus a science fiction thing or something?
Well, it certainly does in some ways. It does provide a social context for the interaction, and when that interaction does turn to sex, yeah, yes, I would suspect that the swords and sorcery fantasy sex tends to be a bit different from science fiction and zero gravity sex.
Zero gravity. So,
I mean, so I'm having, since I have a very limited imagination, I'm trying hard to imagine what this would be like. I mean, let's say I like went to some kind of MUD and actually was seeking some kind of sex. I mean, can you help me understand, you know, how it would happen, like specifically, like, you know, are there griffins involved? What's that word?
Not harpies. Necessarily.
So I log in. I log into like, you know, or, you know, King Arthur's magical lair or whatever, right? And, you know, all my freakish, socially maladjusted friends are there, you know, Guinevere and so on. So, you know, then we play this game for a while, and are you all, like, acting out these kind of bizarre, kind of medieval roles?
In my experience, yes.
This is just like the Society for Creative Anachronism in a digital domain,
right? Or akin to a role-playing game like the, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, or the, again, in an online setting.
So these people have like these well-developed alternative personalities that exist only in cyberspace, if you will.
Yes.
Interesting.
So do you think that the ordinary person can get involved then? Do you think that this is a sexual avenue only available to people who already are accustomed to play acting on a regular basis?
I certainly got better at role-playing with my experience with MUDs. You get some really good role-players and quite a few not-so-good role-players. But most people can improve.
I mean, so I don't quite get how this works. There's some kind of like shared story that you're all participating in, and do you type in your actions, or do you try to like write lots of descriptive prose to sort of? I mean, is it in some sense some kind of shared narrative where everyone's writing a few sentences of story, or
that's a reasonably good description. In the usual case, it's people describing their own actions and then responding to the actions that other people describe.
So is sex in this context satisfying in a different way? I mean, is it more of a mental activity?
It certainly can be fun to masturbate to, but it's fun at the mental level, and I enjoy it, partly because I am into the bondage and domination and sadomasochism, and so
much less scarring this way.
Yes, and the much fewer safety issues.
You can imagine so.
There are still issues of emotional health and well-being, but unless someone sticks their tongue in the power outlet, it's much less likely.
You know, at least keyboard can be a terrible thing if you've got something hanging out there. But you know, it's.
But the risks are much lower than. You can like
repetitive strain injury, carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah, well,
yes.
Yeah, well, in multiple ways. Yeah, but mm-hmm. but now, I mean. Isn't the whole thing with bondage and domination though, that you're being physically restrained? So I mean, you can just walk away. You know, you can just say, "I don't believe you," and walk away from him.
Well, as someone who's experienced some limited BDSM and at the hand of Luke himself here, I want to say it wouldn't quite be the same if it all occurred over a modem.
Well, certainly it's not quite the same.
I'm whipping you now. Count to ten.
But the psychological aspects of dominance and submission.
What would be your stop words? Do you have, like, stop characters? Like, asterisk.
Control S, I think, usually. That was a geek joke. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, in many of my experiences, there'll be an out-of-character thread of conversation in which we will talk out of character about what was erotic and what wasn't.
You mean you'll talk out of character after the fact, or at the same time that it's going on private messages?
Both.
That's an interesting aspect of electronic communication in general, like IRC or Zephyr or MUDS, is that people do this all the time, right? Like I do this on Zephyr here. You know, you might have a bitch fest with somebody in public, while in private you're commenting on how, you know, funny it is, which isn't that easy to do
in real life.
And it happens, I think, often. Mm-hmm. You know, and the same thing applies to, you know, of course, you know, sexual encounters, I mean, or supposedly sexual encounters. I mean, two people could be, you know, supposedly going at it and, you know, all the, just for other people's benefit.
Yeah.
You think that happens much?
Or? Well, it's more going at it for each other's benefit. And so, but to take this back to the question of safe words, given that if you're maintaining the out-of-character communication, then at least in the way I do things, it's much less likely that a safe word would be used, because a safe word would be a way of kind of breaking the scene. And I'd much rather talk out of character and find some way to rectify the scene, or just break the scene out of character instead of breaking it in character.
So there's really the sense that you're making something. It's, I mean, if you're having sex, you don't really care. You know, you knock the glass over, the pillow comes off the whatever, you know, you sit on the cat, whatever. But I mean, but you're saying that in this thing, that the end result of the whole scene is important as well. That's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah. I would say that the end result of the whole scene is important in real life as well, but there are more opportunities to fix things and just make things go right in that online context. I would say it is very different from the reality. It's more like reading an erotic story or writing an erotic story than it is like actually making the beast with two backs with someone.
I'd just like to point out to our listeners that, as always, we're available for your telephone commentary.
Oh, yes, please.
We are available telephonically at 621-WRCT and 268-WRCT. For those of you without letters, that's 268-972.
I am myself unlettered.
On campus, you can get us with the five-digit speed dial code 89728.
And I find it hard to believe that there isn't somebody in listening radius to RCT that hasn't.
He's not presently masturbating the computer terminal.
In fact, to our voices, maybe, which is really... No, I hadn't thought that.
I think we could be doing a better job than that.
Well...
I mean, I see across the couch from me, across the sofa from me, what you're wearing here, and I feel very sad that we haven't sort of shared the actual physical situation with our listeners.
What?
You know, I didn't even get what she. That was great.
I've been having so much trouble concentrating.
Right.
I think, but
well, you know, the fact that I oil my muscles really. I think is the thing that does
his hands.
Your hand is kind of close to your.
You know. All right. Enough with the. All right.
Oh, go on. I think this is an important point. Your body language is being very... I mean,
my body language...
He plays at being uncooperative in this manner, and yet you can see how he's...
It's easy to see why, you know, you have a wife who can't get enough of you sexually, because you are... Oh, pardon me, we've got a telephone call, and as you know, on the show, callers always come first. Is the caller there? Oh, I don't know if we have enough volume in the studio.
I can't hear anything.
We're having some mild technical difficulty, which is very unusual.
Maybe they hung up.
Oh, no.
Oh, there they are. Just a little bit more volume, please, producer.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Barely.
Our producer's turning up the knob. Just one second. Okay. This is all so painful.
Scream something.
How about now?
If we
hold perfectly still.
Let me switch buttons.
So thank you for calling.
Okay.
So, what's your name, please?
What you were talking about, so I had to call in.
Oh, I can't hear that one.
How is this? Hello?
Hello. Hello.
That's a little better.
That's a little better.
Okay, I switched phones.
Oh, fabulous.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
I was trying to lay on the couch and call in.
Oh, that would, well, ooh, so that would have, you were masturbating while we were talking?
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, you would know. So, did you have a question or comment to share with us?
Well, not really. I guess I just wanted to call in.
So, but you're Erica, is that right?
That's correct.
All right. So now you, I talked with you earlier.
Yeah, how did you know that? Is this some kind of female thing where just
the hair is standing up on the back of my neck?
That is so eerie. You know, men are just so closed off from each other. Women just bond immediately like that.
Just,
how is that?
It's just a special understanding across the airwaves.
That's right.
I see that.
And so just by listening to the tone of your voice, I can tell that you've recently had a child. Would that
That's
be right?
That's right. How do you
My God.
And so,
you know,
my life is
and my card, it was the Three of Spades. I lied. It really, it was.
And
you can
so,
tell that from the
phone. And you would have had a child, say, 6-7 weeks ago. Is that right?
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
You're a new mother.
Congratulations.
A boy or a girl?
It's a boy. It's a boy.
Oh, congratulations.
Well,
if she had been a girl, you would have said congratulations.
Well, no,
right?
the girl would have been nicer because she would have shared this telepathic link that obviously you have with other females. But a boy, you know, that's a good kind of second.
Oh, so that was a consolation congratulations.
Okay.
That was really.
Well, I didn't, you know, you can't say anything. I mean,
well, it's going to be one or the other.
Basically.
So yeah, you
hope. Actually, I've heard that's not always true.
Well, that's true.
What, you mean like a hermaphrodite?
Uh-huh, that happens.
If it can happen on X-Files?
You know, the rumor is unsubstantiated that Jamie Lee Curtis is a hermaphrodite. Although
really?
I believe that's...
I'm buying it.
I believe that's
totally
She has denied it, though.
No. Well, of course, yeah.
It happens often enough at the hospital. They won't tell you what anyone else has. Had.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. How interesting.
So would they tell you what you had had?
Yeah, they'll tell you. Well, yeah, they told me, but
they said,
when
we believe.
I asked, I could hear a woman in another room, and then she had her baby, and I asked what it was, and they said, we're not really allowed to say. And so later, after I got to know them, they explained why, because sometimes they don't really have a word for it. Or they don't want to tell.
They must have many words by now. I mean, come on.
Well, they don't want to say about someone else's.
Well,
so it happens often enough.
I don't understand that rule.
That's an interesting fact.
Yeah,
I mean, I can understand it just according to just general patient confidentiality, but...
Well, you would think I don't know, it seems sort of strange.
Well, they could possibly get into legal troubles if they say that it was a girl and it turned out to be a boy and they wanted the one they had back.
They need time for the men in black to get there.
Right. They won't even speculate, or they won't tell.
Back to your darling baby boy.
I'm sorry?
Back to your own child.
Okay.
Which is a boy.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
I mean, I don't want to pry. You know, we will love and cherish this child, whatever gender it is, of course.
Yeah, because that's definitely a boy.
But so, now, if you had your son... over 6 weeks ago, then you must have been to see your doctor for a checkup recently. Would that be right?
That's right, about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and what did your doctor have to say to you?
Nothing. Gave me the go-ahead to kind of resume normal life.
Normal life?
Normal? You mean normal life? Does that refer to intercourse?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But I hadn't waited 6 weeks anyway.
But had they told you to? Yeah, they told you to stop.
Pardon me?
Had they told you to stop?
Right.
Oh, they had?
Oh, yeah, for six... Well, not stop, not to start.
So you had already stopped and thus could not be stopped because you hadn't started, I
see. They tell you to stop about 4 weeks before you have the baby.
Why? Why do they tell you to do that? I mean, do you want to have sex when you're that pregnant, first of all?
No.
Oh. So it's not a big...
onerous burden.
It brings on premature labor.
Oh, does it?
Really?
Oh.
Well, I did not read it. See, I did some research based on some preliminary work that Rosie gave me. Oops. Rosie O'Donnell, the famous comedian. Suggested that you can have sex all the way during your pregnancy. Now, am I wrong about that?
No, you can. You definitely can. But it can bring on premature labor.
So you really oughtn't.
Though
you can.
Because of what is the process that brings that on?
Well, you have contractions. you know.
Oh, you mean the orgasm itself might bring on labor.
Right.
Are you, so if you're doing it right, it might be bad.
Exactly.
So you're not even allowed to masturbate either?
Well, right. You're not.
No orgasms. It's
exactly.
Not. We're not talking about intercourse. We're talking about orgasms.
What about riding a horse or a motorcycle or anything?
I would think riding a horse would be right out by the time you're 4 weeks due.
Exactly. They cut just about everything out. I would say for the last month, there's not really a whole lot left you can do. There's nothing you want to do.
You're just basically miserable and you want to kill everybody, right?
You want to sit. You sleep. And you want to just sit.
But when you're awake.
Do you eat a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. That's what I like. What was your coolest craving? That's what I want to know. Did you eat some, like, sick, like, sardine-laced, you know, french fries?
No, I never had that. I just ate really sweet food.
The whole way through?
Mm-hmm. Stuff that makes me sick now to think about it. Just Fruit Loops and...
Death wish.
But so now your doctor's given you the go ahead. So does that mean that horse riding, motorcycles, masturbation, all that is back on?
Probably
right.
In that order.
I'm totally confused because immediately the moment you give birth, presumably you should be able to have intercourse again, right?
Premature labor.
No, you need time to heal.
What? Heal what?
Your whole, body, really. For a lot of girls, you have incision anyway.
But how did you have the baby? Did that make a difference?
Actually, it did not make a difference. I had a C-section.
Oh, you did?
I wasn't allowed.
Was this a standard thing? Did they do that now in a standard kind of way?
You have to wait 6 weeks, yes. Because you're...
I meant having the C-section.
Oh, no. That was... that's just a complication.
I see.
A result of a complication.
I see.
But yeah, no matter what, you have to wait because your uterus is like contracting and going back to regular size, so they don't like to mess with that.
Oh, I see.
Well, so I understand. So, like, would it hurt you to is this
no.
like a personal choice, are you doing this on advice of your doctor, or is it like obvious to you that right after this baby, like you don't want like a penis thrusting inside you because it would be really painful?
Well, the doctor suggests that you don't. But,
Okay, that's interesting, because I'd have thought that, you hear so much about when people have a normal vaginal delivery that they tear or they cut.
Right.
So there's actual physical injury, as it were. But if you had a cesarean, then it seems like perhaps it'd be just fine. And
well, there are internal organs that are still, repairing themselves.
Hopefully those internal organs aren't involved in normal. Normal is bad, but
does
intercourse.
Does your uterus like get involved with like sex, or isn't it like?
I don't know. Actually, I'm not really sure how that.
I mean,
works.
You'd have to be pretty well hung to.
Yeah.
To get up there. I mean, that's still a long ride, and I somehow just don't think.
How far? I mean, so how? Where is the tip of the uterus?
Well, the cervix. The cervix isn't that far away.
No, the cervix isn't that far, but the uterus is.
No, but the cervix is the tip of the uterus. So.
Yeah, but it's also closed. It's not.
Well, that might be one of the issues actually. If the cervix isn't fully closed, did your doctor mention that?
You know what? And it takes 6 weeks for the whole thing to kind of go back to your regular size.
For the flower to close.
Oh, so pushing the penis inside the uterus would be bad?
Well, I'm not saying that it would go there. I'm not really sure. They never gave me a full description of what.
I want pictures.
I don't think that he explained this.
I think we should get the doctor here myself.
Yeah. Well, it didn't hurt too much, because I didn't wait 6 weeks.
Oh, interesting.
So how long did you wait then?
Are you a heterosexual?
Yes.
I just want to clarify this because. So you got some kind of man in your life?
3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. So did you feel like when they were telling you this stuff that it was just sort of a blanket kind of they tell everyone this stuff, or was it more related to your specific condition?
Oh, they definitely tell everyone.
So
you read it in books, too.
Okay, so they were just towing the party line here. I mean, it wasn't something specific to your situation.
Correct.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh. So what about your partner? Was assuming it was a man?
Yeah.
Was he anxious for sex this whole time, or how did he?
No, he was pretty good about it.
Did he have to resort to masturbation?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, presumably, even if you're, I mean, even if you're pregnant, you could help him out, you know. Oral sex, of course, that shouldn't be damaging to the uterus. You know, you could do anal sex, for example.
That's open to you. I mean, you know.
Anal sex is not complicated with a belly giving in the
I'm
way.
I'm not into that.
Well, so, well, I mean, after pregnancy, for example.
Yeah. Well, like I said, also there's a lot of blood and so forth involved. After you have a baby, you know, you bleed for a few weeks.
So you actually broke the rules that were laid down by the doctor. So
that's correct.
Now, do you having done that, do you think that those rules are a lot of baloney?
I guess so, because he couldn't tell. He didn't ask, and I didn't say.
The doctor couldn't.
It's good enough for our military. Wow. It's definitely good enough for you.
I know.
That's the way I feel about it.
And he couldn't tell. So, like I said, I guess, you know, probably it's an average thing or... You know, they just...
And so you didn't feel pain or discomfort or...
Oh, yeah, there was.
It was. In your uterus you felt the pain or what sort of... I mean...
Just the whole thing didn't feel right, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. So did that mean you only did it once then before the...
No. three times.
Oh, okay. Keep trying then, as they say.
Yeah. And, eventually... It's sort of, everything's back to normal now.
Woo-hoo.
Can you go into more detail about how it didn't feel right, please?
It just hurt.
But you went through with it anyway because...
It's an emotional thing.
Interesting. So at least by not having the traditional vaginal delivery, you didn't have the usual problem of kind of the
episiotomy, it's called.
that wasn't where I was going, but
that's where you are.
So there's this episiotomy deals where they actually make a little incision somewhere in your
little or big. There are varying degrees.
And
they get in there and hack away sometimes.
And then they sew it back up after the baby.
Do they?
So have you spoken to anyone in your pre- or postnatal class who had one of those?
Oh, yeah.
And anyone who cheated on the sex rule?
Not so far.
Okay.
I take it that's a little more painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when you have that done, you really kind of wait out the final 6 weeks.
I think I'd be waiting longer than that personally. I'd be reconsidering.
Yeah, I think that must be really...
So if we had in anyone who had a cesarean asking us now, or asking you, would you suggest that you really should wait the 6 weeks then?
No.
Okay.
No, I would tell them, I think it's up to them at that point. I think when you feel like it, you know, people have been doing this since the beginning of time, and I'm sure there weren't any hard and fast rules way back when.
Well, except that cesareans are a fairly new phenomenon.
Well, actually, yeah. Do you know where the first one was?
Oh, hang on, I thought
we have, we found that on the web, or
Caesar.
But I don't think the women lived through them for
Intimate.
Right, yeah. My husband actually brought that up, you know, during the procedure.
I think Xena and
He was bringing up did the mothers
Xena invent these?
The procedure?
Asclepius was the Greek god of health.
Hello, Asclepius.
So I don't think Asclepius was doing any cesareans. I'm fairly sure.
Lorraine found us today.
We got some, you know.
But Attila discarded our notes.
Huh? I did not discard anything.
You are so irresponsible.
Oh.
Erica, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay.
I'm just listening to y'all battle.
So even as you were on the table, your husband was discussing fatalities in cesareans?
Well, he didn't tell me until after that Caesar's mother had died. I didn't know. He was just making conversation.
Cherry chat, that's
okay.
Good.
Okay, yeah. Get this. This is what Lurleen found for us earlier today on the web, which is
Well, don't explain the web. They've all seen Love and Nikita.
According to Greek mythology, Apollo removed Asclepius. What did I just say?
You said Asclepius was walking around doing cesareans.
According to Greek mythology, Apollo removed Asclepius, founder of the famous cult of religious medicine, from his mother's abdomen. says it right there.
But yeah, no, I understand though that traditionally the cesareans have only been performed when the mother actually had died, and so to try and save the child. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty modern thing to have
the mother
sex
live
after a cesarean.
Can you request a cesarean?
Well, even if not cesarean, then it's just after childbirth.
Yeah.
I would think that, you know, like I said again, these rules are sort of a modern thing where women used to have their babies at home, so no one told them to wait 6 weeks or...
Yeah.
No, I'm sure they just waited till it felt...
They just probably did what they felt like.
So
that's what I would... Back to the original question, that's what I would recommend. When you feel like it, go ahead.
So can you request a cesarean? Do people do that?
Yeah, you can schedule when to have your baby now, depending on your doctor.
Oh, you can... Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So as long as you're 39 weeks, you can kind of say, okay, next Thursday.
Really?
And, yeah, and if you make it that long, they'll take you in and, you know, they give you Pitocin, I believe.
To induce labor.
Yeah, it induces labor. And so you can actually schedule a non-cesarean. You can schedule a vaginal delivery.
Can you schedule a cesarean?
Yeah, well, that's yeah, if you can do the one, you can definitely do the other.
So that goes without saying.
You can schedule it. I had a girlfriend do that. She doesn't like to go through labor, so she just tells them, you know, when she wants to have it. And, of course, it's typically before the 40 weeks.
She's done this multiple times.
Three times.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, she did the first one. She went through the whole process, and she decided after that, from that time forward, she just wanted to have cesarean scheduled. And she didn't want to feel anything, so she'll get the epidural.
You can at least spread the birthdays out, you know, make sure everyone's got, got the same birthday. That was best.
So, Erica, if I may, I would like to transition us from the physical effects of the cesarean to, if we may, talk about emotional changes that you're going through.
Okay.
So, due to my extensive research on the internet via my helper, Lorleen, here, I've learned that many women undergo emotional changes, and I was wondering if I could run some of these changes by you and see if do you find that the demands of parenting and family adjustments have decreased your sexual interest?
Yes.
Yes. Interesting.
Yes.
And feel free to amplify in any of these.
This is your first. Is this your first child?
Yes.
Okay, so big difference between zero kids and one kid.
Right.
Are you breastfeeding?
There's no sleep.
You are breastfeeding.
That's right.
Do you find that the physical contact and the care and handling of a baby may decrease interest in other physical contact? Are you, as a breastfeeding mother, feeling touched out?
No, I don't feel that, but I don't feel like, I don't know, just with my husband, you know, if I don't think my chest feels like a sexual thing anymore.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so
right now.
You don't feel your what feels like
chest.
Oh, okay.
Breasts.
Breast.
So earlier you considered your breasts an erogenous zone.
Exactly.
Are they tender now? And
No.
But
that's sort of where I played out though.
They're more sort of gland like now rather than.
Well, there I think I'm just played out. Mm. You know.
Played out. I wonder what that might mean. Do you have any insight into what?
No.
So you've never been played out.
I've never been played out.
I don't know what that might mean.
Well, what do you mean by played out, Erica?
Well, you know, all day long I have the baby on my breast.
Ah, you're not interested in having, yes, I see. No more,
So does that mean that you're having to be a bit more imaginative with your husband then about where he touches you and what sort of things you do?
No, just a little more, limited.
Does he drink the milk from your breasts?
No, he doesn't. I've heard of people doing that.
Do men like that? It's just sort of interesting.
Certainly, I know that there are drugs available that will make women lactate, and at least one person I've known urged his girlfriend to
take
those pills.
You mean without having the baby?
Yeah.
Can it be painful, though? I mean, if...
To have a husband?
No, I mean to I'm sure it's painful to have a husband. I mean, wouldn't that be, if you induced your body to do that?
I would think that would be very painful.
Wouldn't that be painful? I mean, isn't it painful now for you and it's natural?
No.
It's not at all? Well, because you have a constant.
I mean, isn't it strange?
Well, if I go too long without feeding the baby, then it's painful.
That's what I meant. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I get engorged. And you can actually see and you can look and say, "Oh my God."
So, but I mean, my point is that this is not. I mean, this guy who made his girlfriend or tried to get his girlfriend to do this. I mean, it's a painful thing he was trying to make her do.
He was doing this purely for sexual reasons.
I suppose there's also a little bit of curiosity.
Because she didn't have a baby though, right?
Right.
So, what doctor would prescribe
breast milk?
So. Yeah. Well, so fine, he gets a taste, but she's stuck with the stuff, you know, in quantity. I mean, you know, that might
provide a special bond between them. Now, how often do you nurse your baby again?
Oh, every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours. Imagine that if your girlfriend...
You better really like that boyfriend, I guess.
This actually brings me to another question. Is your interrupted sleep and caring for your new baby by feeding it every 2 hours, is that exhausting?
Oh, definitely.
So, like, are you in this phase where you're just, like, not sleeping at all, basically, because of...
Well, I catch up through the day, but I'm never as alert as I used to be. Because even though... you know, I get 3 hours at a time, it's interrupted, so I don't really get into sort of a deep sleep, and so I feel tired a lot of the time. But I try to catch up in the day, take cat naps and that sort of thing. So it's not that I don't sleep, I just have interrupted sleep.
So I've actually heard some occasional controversies in discussion groups on the internet in which some groups of people say that breastfeeding is an erotic or erogenous type of sensation, and other people say that even to have or think of such feelings is akin to child abuse. And do you have any opinions on this?
Well, certainly not abuse, I wouldn't think. I don't feel that way. I don't feel like it is, you know, it's not a pleasurable thing.
So it's not a turn,
like a sexual sense. But,
right.
You know, it's nice to feed your baby. You just kind of feel close to them and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly... I guess I just don't think of my breasts as a sexual thing at all.
Well, they're pretty much being put to other purposes.
Yeah,
so it's...
busy with other things with them. So, but I don't know. I suppose some people might get pleasure from it.
Does this bother your husband, do you think? Or
not at all.
I wouldn't imagine if he, you know, he's be happy to have the baby. And.
No, he...
Sounds
you know,
like
he's a good father, so he doesn't. I've asked him too if he ever gets jealous because I spend so much time with the baby, and he says not. I've read a lot that husbands do start to feel jealous of the baby getting all the attention, but he doesn't seem to feel that way.
Well, do you feel frightened, wondering if you've given up sexuality to motherhood?
I have never really sort of thought of it that way. And I haven't given it up either.
This is an example of the kind of stuff you find on the internet, you know? I mean, it's just...
It's just it's not as high priority as it used to be.
Interesting.
Well, I'd like to ask, did your sex life change during pregnancy?
I mean, oh, definitely.
At some point you gave it up, but I'd like to know about changes before then.
As soon as I got pregnant, I just had less desire for it.
Okay, so now that seems like a sort of almost something you'd expect biologically.
Would think so, because it's almost, you know, on a grand scale, you've accomplished what you needed to accomplish. You know, you're pregnant. I mean, that's the whole purpose behind behind sex is reproduction.
And so was that sort of instant? Was it the second you became pregnant, or the second you found out you were pregnant?
I can't remember.
I'm not so sure
not
about
necessarily.
That. I'm not planning on breeding.
You want to keep males around you all the time, so that as soon as, I mean, if you become sexually uninterested for 9 months, then your whole brood of males that are normally copulating with you would, like, go find some other female, right?
Corey, where are you?
You're talking about evolution, right? As soon as you bring up evolution,
we're now
just come back to us here, Corey.
Well, excuse me, if you're going to make the evolution argument pretending that people are animals, then I'm going to examine it, you know, like,
right.
This is one of my, like, pet peeves, that people use these evolution arguments as to, like, why things are a certain way, and, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think that's probably why they only have one bull in the whole, you know.
One bull what?
One bull.
One bull, I think she knows. one lion in the jungle, so to speak.
One bull, lots of cows, you know.
Oh, one bull.
He has one bull. You mean like in the Lord's,
well, there, you know,
in the Lord's stable, there's only one bull? What are you talking about?
I thought we were comparing ourselves to animals here.
All right. So let me ask you this. Do you feel sexually undesirable due to visible after effects, such as stretch marks, remaining weight, episiotomy, or the cesarean scar itself?
The cesarean scar, that's part of it.
Where is your cesarean scar? Don't they try to make it kind of subtle somehow? Or?
It's hard to make that subtle.
Like, right across the top of like where your pubic hair is. Are we allowed to say that?
Horizontally. Pubic hair.
There we go. Right along that line.
So, is it kind of covered by your pubic hair growth?
Right. It's just underneath. They do that so that when your hair grows back, that you know, it shouldn't be obvious.
But you normally keep yourself shaved. Is that not true?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I keep myself shaved. Well,
you better not have a cesarean section.
Interesting.
We can arrange for you to
have So, what about the other issue? So, you're feeling kind of chubby right now, or what?
Yeah, a little bit. Not that so much as, I guess, yeah, probably that would be it, if anything. Just not as desirable.
You still eating the Fruit Loops and the bacon fat and all that stuff?
No, I don't have any wish to eat like that now.
If I got pregnant, I think I would eat like a 6-pack of Cinnabons every day. That would be like my advice.
I guess it's just the idea. You figure, oh my gosh, you're going to run 30, 40 pounds anyway, and you crave. You know, everyone craves different things, but mine was sweets. And now that I've had the baby, I don't have any cravings anymore.
Interesting.
I eat like a normal person.
But surely all this milk that you're generating must kind of increase your appetite.
Yeah, I know. And they said that would affect my appetite, but it really hasn't. I don't really, you know, I eat like I did before I was pregnant. So I don't think that really has a lot to do with it. I think it's more just I'm just tired a lot.
Interesting. So, Ralph, I think
Pardon me?
I had some kind of flashback to my childhood. Luke, were you not in the middle of a...
It did involve Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops are actually really good.
There are a lot of normal people who eat Fruit Loops, non-pregnant people, I should say. So.
It took me a long time to realize that they spell it differently. It's F-R-O-O-P. Have you ever noticed that?
No, I hadn't.
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, they
fruit
use the little
loops.
Cereal pieces sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
We did start though with that point, and we got sidetracked about you losing some of your interest in sex as soon as you became pregnant.
You're right, but I can't remember when it was. That just like.
But you could definitely notice the difference then.
If it was when I knew, or when I was actually just pregnant, I can't remember.
And was that the only change you noticed?
And I slept all the time. That's about it.
I'd like to talk about the actual cesarean operation. I mean, were you conscious when they were cutting you open?
Definitely.
And what kind of anesthetic were they using, if
it
any?
It was a epidural, so I was numb from about the waist down.
How does that work? They jab something in your spine? Is that the idea?
It doesn't go in your spine. It goes into... the area right outside of your spine.
Fascinating.
And, so you're numb from the waist down, but you're fully conscious. You can, you know, talk with people. As I said, I was talking to my husband.
Does that interfere with the... Well, I guess, you know, you're having a cesarean, so labor isn't the
But,
the
you know,
issue,
up but... until I had that, I was in labor. I had a long labor, and I had the epidural the whole, you know, after the first 4 hours.
Oh, God.
So if you were going to ask, does it interfere with, like, pushing and stuff?
You
have to remember what it is to push because you can't feel it.
Oh, but you still have muscle control, but you don't have any feeling. Is that
right. You know, they tell you have the control. You just can't feel it, so you just go through the motions of what it's like to push.
Oh, no, but
they tell you if you're pushing or not.
During the cesarean itself, then, you don't actually sort of push the baby out through that hole in your belly.
No.
Is that something you could conceivably do?
I don't think so.
They go
well,
in
I don't
and
know.
Get it, right?
I mean, at that point, they really give you quite a bit of drugs. In you know, for the numbing, you don't feel anything at all down there. And I didn't like assist at all. I just laid there, and the next thing I know, the baby was out.
Oh, that's
funny. So they just cut me open and did it.
Were you all at all disappointed that you didn't have a completely sort of quote natural birth?
A little bit. A little bit.
What made, if you don't mind me asking, what made them decide to go in and get the little pig.
They keep a monitor on the baby, and after so many hours, if the baby's getting stressed, they go that way.
So it's sort of a protocol that they have. So this must happen rather frequently.
I guess one in three.
One in three?
Wow.
Did they tell you that once you have the cesarean, your next child, if you have one, will also be cesarean?
No, that's not true. That's a myth. A lot of people believe that. But no, you can have the next one.
So it all heals completely and there's no damage to the uterus long term?
Right. You know, I'm sure there's a scar, but that doesn't stop, me from having a regular delivery the next time.
Fascinating.
So now, the doctor who told you to stay off sex for 6 weeks, did this doctor...
You're obsessed by it. Could you give up sex for 6 weeks? Is that a problem?
You're
a pig. I mean, just come on.
I'm questioning the authority here.
All right.
This figure. Was this doctor a man?
Yes.
Sorry.
But I think that that's pretty much across the board. Like, all of my friends who have had children have all been told that same advice from male and female doctors.
And so did this doctor say when you could expect your sex life to return to normal, too?
No. You would think that they would, but no, that was never discussed.
Would you say it has yet?
Not as often, but pretty much.
So how often did you have sex before this whole pregnancy thing happened?
3 or 4 times a week.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so do you mind telling us where you're at now?
I would say about every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Once every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty infrequent.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, surely your husband has got to be masturbating or going to strip clubs or something, right?
I don't know. I'll have to ask. I respect his privacy. I don't ask.
Wow.
You said that 2 to 3 times a week was frequent, yet once every 2 weeks is infrequent. What do you consider normal?
Well, there's really a wide range of variation. For some people, once a month is not normal. For some people, twice a day is not normal. I'll certainly agree that it's a significant change for you between 3 or 4 times a week and once every 2 weeks.
Right.
Standard deviations.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, for busy married couples, or whatever, like 3 to 4 times a week is actually pretty ambitious. I mean, even my own twisted relationship, we don't have sex 3 to 4 times a week. And I'm lucky if I get it once or twice a week.
So I'm not that far behind you.
Man, so she
I
just
think
had a
that's
kid.
Probably for everyone more than your more than I'm.
Oh, it's really good.
It's a lot, right?
Mind blowing. 1 to 2 times a week. Just let me tell you. Because I'm that good. What? Stop interrupting me.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'll proceed.
I was just going to say that obviously, if it's more than what you're getting, then you think that's plenty and not ample.
Well, no, but you hear sort of the surveys that people take, and sort of the average married couple probably has sex a couple times a week, isn't that right?
In Time magazine not so long ago, there was a survey, and I wish we had that chart with us now, but there was a survey of different countries in the world, and the average number of times people have sex a year.
Really?
A year?
Yeah, a year.
There's no way I'd be organized to keep that track of that.
Do you remember what country?
Well, you get a scientist to keep track of it for you.
Well, Some stereotypes were substantiated. Like, I think France had much higher ratio than...
Well, they said they did. This is a poll of what people say.
Right.
Well, so if DJ Juan Pablo were here, he could tell us about the Spaniards' proclivity.
Okay, I'm sorry. Are you talking about someone who's not here? I thought you made up a pet name for me there on the spot. I was thinking...
If Juan Pablo were here, and I'll study the syntax of that sentence.
But I somehow remember a figure sticking in my mind like twice a week.
That's worldwide?
In countries that somehow seem to
seems
to be like
you average the Italians with the
the Finns.
I need to mention right now that this is WRCT Pittsburgh and it's approximately midnight. So you DJ Howard,
Attila. Theoretically, happily.
Theoretically.
Happily married man, you know. So how many times are you having sex? I don't even know which time we have left.
What's our producer? How long is this?
We're supposed to end at midnight, but our producer has left the studio.
Does this give us license to sort of run amok on the airwaves?
But don't evade that question, yeah.
It's highly variable.
Variable, okay.
I've had health problems recently, that certainly, I'm sure.
You've given birth?
No.
Interesting.
No. I've been treated for a kind of cancer called Hodgkin's lymphoma. So different.
So now you feel guilty for making fun of him when the man has cancer. Had cancer. I believe.
So at any rate, so I mean things like that certainly affect. I admit to being lax in not being able to pull figures out of my whatever about
anus.
What the yes. Can I say I've said ass.
I don't know if you can say
that. I just said it.
Say anus.
I'm sure anus is much more obscene than ass.
So you can pull figures out whatever orifice.
I don't know what the standard for how things like chemo and radiation and so on affect you. I think it's, but so yeah, no, it's very variable. I mean. What's going
on? Just keep talking. We've got about 30 seconds left, so stay focused. And we're going to hang up really soon.
Okay. Well, if you've got 30 seconds left, we should thank Erica for
Yes, of course. Yes, yes. Thank you very much.
Erica, thank you so much for sharing so much of your personal life with us. We're deeply moved.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
We really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you for all of our other listeners.
Yes, I hope everyone learned something.
I certainly did.
I definitely
and
did.
And we wish you and your delightful boy child the best of everything.
And a speedy recovery to your...
Okay, well, thank you all.
Stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And to all the listeners, thank you. Good night. This is Loveline/Sex Talk signing off. Thanks so much for joining us.